So today's reading is from Galatians chapter 5, and it's verses 22 to 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. And this is the word of God to us this morning. Amen.
You can go ahead and take your seats. It's good to see everybody this morning. We, as Rachel said, we're moving into the Christmas season expeditiously. That was one of the first words I really taught Malin the definition of. Expeditiously. I was working on that when she was two or three. So she would run around and tell people, we're going to be expeditious. Fast. We're expeditiously coming. If you have that on your seat, give that a little wave. That's for you to take home. Put that on your fridge. Invite some people to church. You know, it's an amazing thing. Even people who don't really make church a regular part of their life and routine will generally accept an invitation from us around Christmas time and Easter. So invite people to church. Let them come and experience. There's some of the things happening. On Second Advent, Marco, maybe you can just turn me down a little bit. On Second Advent, we have a special guest. Pastor Magnus Pearson and Gunilla are coming from Sweden to be with us. So we look forward to that. He will minister to us and for us. So yeah, we will have that privilege. All right, if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Galatians 5. Do you know how you remember where Galatians is in your Bible? This lady taught me years ago. You know, it's Galatians, go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Go eat popcorn. Some of you are going to remember that. Some of you are not going to remember that. So if you're looking for Galatians, you can say, go eat popcorn. It's the first one. All right, Galatians chapter 5. Now, we began this last Sunday, and we began to look at, and we said this, the fruit, or we said the evidence of the Spirit of God in our lives. Is that my, okay, thank you, Marco. You're so good back there. Here we go. The fruit or the evidence of the Spirit of God in our lives. And that's what we call the fruit of the Spirit. And it's an interesting verse that Beth read for this morning. Thank you, Beth. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit. And I think that's always a simple thing to remind ourselves of, to be established in. God isn't looking at us and saying, come on, Gina, you better be loving to Nick. Nick, you better be patient with Gina. Well, we should be patient and loving with each other, right? But here's the awesome thing. The most glorious, awesome thing about God and Christianity is this. God always gives us what we need. He always helps us to do what he asks us to do. Listen, friends, God will never ask you to be patient, kind, and full of love if he doesn't first give you patience, give you kindness, and give you love. That's the gospel. That's what makes Christianity different than every other religion in the world. Religion is this, your effort. Come on, be good so maybe your God will do something good for you. No, Christianity is what? God came down to this earth to do something for us that we could never do for ourselves. That is powerful. So as we look into that, that's the first little thing that we'll look at. And I give you that as a little backdrop to what we're going to dig into. So today we're going to look at the next three fruits. So last Sunday and the Sunday before, we talked about, well, let's look what we talked about. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. And it's an amazing thing that God gives us what we need the most. And we talked about this for the last 2 weeks, what we need the most, what every human being longs for. This is no exception. Wherever you go in the world, if you're a world traveler, you realize people are pretty much the same everywhere in the world. What are we looking for? Love. We're looking for a sense of peace. We're looking for some form of joy in our lives. So God gives us that stuff. He gives us the amazing thing is God gives us what we need the most. And then, if you look at the next three fruits, so love, joy, and peace, The next one is forbearance, kindness, and goodness. So what can we say? We say this: God gives us what we need with love, joy, and peace, and then he gives us the next, what I consider most important things for any human being. Because forbearance, kindness, and goodness are all about how we interact with one another. So I know if we look at the word forbearance, if I was to take a poll this morning and say, how many people used the word forbearance last week? I don't think I would get much response. Another word the Bible uses in place of forbearance is long-suffering. Not a totally common word in our day and age either. But the other word we get to describe that is patience. Come on, everybody say patience. If you have children, I bet you reminded yourself this week to be patient. Come on. So patience is a word. But it's interesting because when we think of patience, sometimes we can sort of sit, have this picture in our mind. Maybe you don't have this picture. Maybe this is my picture of sort of sitting there twiddling on my thumbs and trying to be patient, but really I'm not patient. I'm impatient. So I'm like, no, I got to be patient. But that's not really what the Bible talks about. The Bible talks about forbearance, long suffering. See, that's almost a more descriptive picture of patience. So when we think about these things, patience or long-suffering or forbearance, kindness and goodness, I can say this, are the grease for the gears of our relationships. Listen, if there's not patience, if there's not kindness, and there's not goodness in your human relationships, look out. The gears will begin to grind. Are you with me? So we have this smooth interactions with those around us as we give and receive patience, kindness, and goodness to one another. So let's look it up. I want to give you a little bit of a picture. How many people drive a car or have driven a car in your life? What would happen, come on now, what would happen if you drained all the oil out of your car, out of the motor, took all the transmission fluid out, drained out the power steering and all the brake fluid? Now, when you looked at the car, you probably wouldn't see much difference. You could even wash the car and clean the car and wax the car. You could make sure you got your tires nice and cleaned up. And you could look and say, wow, what an awesome car. But what would happen the moment you turned that key? I'm not a mechanic. I think for a moment your car might work. Like, I don't know, maybe for 5 minutes. And the mechanics in the room are like, you're crazy. But I know what you would hear. You'd hear noise. You'd hear grinding. When you went to turn the wheel, you'd... Have you ever been low on power steering fluid? Oh, I had a car that was bad. I had to, like, put power steering fluid in every second day. But that's what happens. You get this grinding sound. What's the point? The car doesn't work. Even though you look and say, wow, what a beautiful car, it doesn't work. So here's the thing. People can look at our lives from the outside and say, wow, what a lovely family Mark and Beth are. They're so sweet and so kind. Yeah, but does it work? What happens when there's some friction in their relationship? Is there the grease? Is there the grease of patience, kindness, and goodness? This, friends, I dare say, is maybe one of the most important messages you'll ever hear. Maybe for the rest of this year. That's not too far away. But why? Because it's how we react and interact with one another. God cares about you and I having healthy relationships. Come on, give me a little wave. See, sometimes we get so spiritual when it comes to church, like, no, the only thing God cares about is my relationship with him. Well, sure he does. So in order to solve that, he sent his son and died on a cross. So receive that. But now how do we interact with one another? Some people say, you know what? The best way to do it is just get people out of your life. Come on, keep them at arm's length. Never let them in close. Why? Because the moment, come on, friends, you and I let people in, the gears start going. So we are forced to either get rid of that situation or we're forced to let the Spirit of God in and actually do something that you and I can't do in ourselves. So we let patience, long-suffering, forbearance, kindness, and goodness flow. I'm excited about this message today. So here we go. So hopefully you keep your car healthy and strong. The Bible says this, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Because I'm going to talk and I'm going to try to be as practical as I can today with this message about patience and kindness and goodness. Ephesians 4:15 says this, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Just hold that there, Marco, thank you. Think about what it says now. It's so simple, let's not miss it. It says, speak the truth in love. Listen, I know people, God, I'm thankful to God, I don't know too many of them today. I know some people, I've known some people who were just really committed to speaking the truth. You know what I'm talking about? Just speak the truth. I just gave them the truth. Told them what I really thought. Told them how I really felt about that. Okay. My experience is this. When you come across that way and speak the truth, you're rarely well received. Try that with your wife. Let me tell you what I really think about this meal you made. You ask me what I think of it? Let me tell you what I think. I think it's overcooked. I think you burnt it a little bit. Maybe it's undercooked over there. Those vegetables way overdone. Should have been sauteed, not boiled. Say, well, it was just the truth. But it was the truth. Right? So maybe it's the truth. But I love this. This is speak the truth in love. What's love? To serve and sacrifice for someone else. Maybe have some long suffering through that meal. Come on, you see how this message is so practical? And now listen, I can come up with 100 examples of how you and I interact with people every day. Your boss walks in the office. They're not in a good mood, and you saw it the second they opened the door, because you know them. You know that look on their face. And what happens? You begin to pull back, because we don't want to have to be patient with that. I don't want to have to be kind to someone who's ill towards me. Come on, that's human nature. I don't fault you. I don't fault myself. That's human nature. If someone's kind to you, do you know what the easy thing is? To be kind back. But that's not what the Bible talks about. It says, when someone's rude to you, be kind. When someone mistreats you, treat them well. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Now listen, friends, let me help you. That will take God in your life. The other doesn't take God. You just have to be semi-normal. Come on, you have to be semi-normal to be kind to someone who's kind to you. You have to be a little bit off to be rude to someone who's kind to you. You understand my point here? So it doesn't take any spirituality to be kind to someone who's kind to you. It takes a whole bucket of spirituality to be kind to someone who's not kind to you. Come on. This is what God gives us. And God doesn't say, just be kind. Suck it up, Meta. Suck it up, KK. No, he doesn't say that. He says, I'm going to empower you to be kind. Wow. That's the God we serve, who gives us what we need. Doesn't demand something from us that we can't do. He says, no, come on. I can help you be kind. All right. So it's not enough to just speak the truth. We must do it in love. Truth without love just comes across as harsh and will generally not be well received. But truth in love has the potential to heal and make whole. So listen, you can speak truth. Listen, we shouldn't not speak truth, but it's the way we do it. It's the attitude we do it with. All right? Go to Philippians. Go eat popcorn. Go to Philippians. Starts with a P. Chapter 1, verse 29. And then we're going to read into 22 a little bit. And this is hard to talk about, but I'm just going to let the Bible say it for itself. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him. Any believers in the room this morning? All right. Set you up. Not to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. I don't like that part. to be a believer, not a sufferer. But what did we say patience was? Long suffering. Here's a question. I'm going to dig into this a little bit this morning. Why would God allow us to suffer? Come on, think that. You have to think that through a little bit now. Why would God allow us to suffer? Why would a good, kind, amazing, awesome God want you and I to suffer? What could possibly be his motive? Because when I read it, I'm not really attracted to that line. I like the believer part. That's good. But it's been given to me. Look, for it has been granted to you. It's like, this is really official language. Natalia, it's been granted to you from God to suffer. It sounds so official. What could God possibly have in his head, his motive for doing this? This is the one I want to dig into. All right, keep going. Next verse, please. Since you are going through the same struggle, now this is the Apostle Paul talking to the church in Philippi. He says, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Now hold that thought. So Paul's saying, I've been going through some struggle. You heard about my struggle, and now you're going through the same struggle. But just to remind you, I'm still in the same struggle. So the struggle hasn't left me and jumped onto you. I'm still in the same struggle that you heard I was in, and now you're in it. It's powerful. Next verse, please. Therefore, look at this. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, what does Paul do here? You notice this. Don't miss this point. Paul goes from focusing on our struggle to all of a sudden Christ. So he doesn't allow himself to dwell on the struggle. Let me tell you about my struggle. It's so big. You wish, you're so glad you don't have my struggle. Because I'll tell you the temptation. When we're in struggle, the temptation we have is to measure our struggle one to another. Say, well, Harmony, I know Harmony has struggle, but it's not nearly my struggle. And if Harmony only knew the struggle Marie had, she wouldn't even worry about her struggle. No, that's not the way to look at it. Listen, every person's struggle is individual. We can never refuse to go down that road where we begin to compare our struggle one to another. Because what will happen is you could possibly get annoyed by somebody else's struggle. Because you think in your head, your struggle's so big. And I'm not saying it's not. But the problem is our struggles can cause contention. Don't let that. So Paul is addressing that concept. So what does he do? He doesn't say, tell me all about your struggle. He doesn't even mention it. He says, yeah, I had a struggle. You heard about it. Now I hear you have the struggle, but don't worry, I'm still in the same struggle. That's as far as we know. He doesn't tell us what the struggle is. He doesn't dig into the struggle. But look where he goes. He says, therefore, if you have any encouragement, hold on, we were just talking about struggle. Paul goes to that. What does the struggle producing in you? This is God's MO. That struggle, my friends, will produce something in us. So he says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love. What does the Bible say? Paul says this in the book of Corinthians. He says, in my weakness, God's strength is made perfect. Friends, let me tell you something. If you want to experience God in a deep, personal, awesome, amazing way, many times, that's in the midst of your darkest hour. I don't like to say that. But we see that time and time again in Scripture. Because in our weakness, God's strength is made perfect. Amen? So, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, what is he saying? He's saying, look, this struggle is bringing us together. It's binding us together in the Spirit. We have common sharing in the Spirit. If any tenderness and compassion, next verse, please. then make my joy complete by being like-minded. Paul's saying this, let your struggle unite us. Don't let our struggles divide us. Don't let the struggle to say to you how... See, here's the thing. When we're in struggle, we can start to believe that God has left us. That's just not the case. See, life, I must have done something wrong. I'm in struggle. This isn't working out for me. Clearly, I've done something amiss. Clearly, God has forgotten me. Clearly, God doesn't hear my prayer. Because if he heard my prayer, why would I still be struggling? It's a logical thought, friends. Don't misunderstand me. Very logical, not biblical. Logical, not biblical. Suffering produces something. Amen? Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. This is the thing that gets me. Do you know what Paul's talking? You know what Paul's telling this Philippian church who's in major struggle? Serve each other. Love each other. Care for one another. Yeah, but Paul, you're asking me to do something and I'm hurting. Yeah, I know you're hurting. I know you're struggling. But do something for someone else. Have you ever noticed when you do something for someone else, the first thing that happens is you get yourself off your mind? Listen, I can't serve Beth. Let me say it this way. I can't serve Beth the way Paul just told the Philippian church to serve people if I got me in my mind in my trouble. I have to get that out of my mind and begin to serve. Here's Paul's secret. If you want to be able to cope with trouble, love, serve, be compassionate for others. Let that flow out. Amen? Next verse, please. Do nothing, look at this, out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Hold that verse there. We're talking about people who are in turmoil, people who are in struggle, people who are suffering. And this is what Paul says. He says, get yourself off your mind. Get yourself off your mind. What is conceit? Now, I know no one in this room has ever met a conceited person because you're so lucky. You've never met conceited people. But if you had met a conceited person, what makes a conceited person? They're full of themselves. And you walk away from the conversation, you think, that bonehead never asked me one question about me, doesn't even know probably doesn't remember my name, but told me his whole life story because he thought I was so interested in it. That's conceit. Now, I know no one's ever experienced that, so God bless you. But he says, don't do this. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. What is selfish ambition? He didn't say ambition. He said selfish ambition. What is selfish ambition? Selfish ambition can show up like this in your life as a believer. Well, God has given me a wife and two kids and one more on the way. So listen, I have got to take care of my family. I'm sorry, I can't do anything for you. I have this family I have to take care of. Isn't that what God wants me to do? But who's at the center of it? Me, myself, and I. Us four and no more. God says that's not a way to live. Live your life for others. Amen? Last verse here, and then we're going to cruise along. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Remember the backdrop here, friends. These people are hurting. They're hurting. They're suffering. They're in turmoil and they're in pain. And Paul's solution is to love those around them. Get yourself off your mind and love the people that God has brought into your world. That is his solution. So why? Why the suffering? Why? Why do I have to go through this stuff? Why should I have to be patient? Go to Romans 12, verses 9 to 13, if you have your Bibles. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Next verse, please. Be devoted to one another in love. Love is service and sacrifice to someone else or something else. Listen, friends, we all love something. Make no mistake. There's no human being that doesn't love something. Paul, God says this, Jesus says this, the first and the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then he says, the second is like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. So we all love something. So be devoted to one another in love. This is what Paul's telling the church. Honor one another above yourselves. Next verse. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Hold that verse there. I could take a whole month on this verse, but I'm going to resist that temptation, okay? But read that verse in context. It says, never be lacking zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. How many people think it's important to have zeal and fervor for God? Give me a little wave. Do you know how that happens? Serving the Lord. Well, here's a question. How do I serve God? Seriously, he's somewhere, I guess in heaven. I suppose he lives in you and I guess the Holy Spirit is here. Agreed? Yeah. How do I serve him? Holy Spirit, watch, let me move that for you there. I don't think the Holy Spirit needs me to serve him that way. You follow me? So, oh, God, is there anything up in heaven you need? Couldn't hear you. So how do you serve God? It's a really important question. Because if we don't understand how to serve God, then how can we serve God? Everybody look up here. There's one way to serve God. Serve people. Love people. It's not enough for me to say, I love God, but never do anything to express love for people. Listen, let me ask you a question. If you have if you're in a relationship or you have a family member or a friend that you truly love and care for, okay? If all you ever did for them is tell them you love them with your words and never did anything for them, would they really think you love them? I don't think so. You can go ahead and try, but I think that one's going to end in disaster. It's not enough to use words. So it's not enough for you and I to say to God, God, I love you. I love you. No, we show God and demonstrate to God and speak to God how much we love him by how we serve each other. Amen? All right. A couple more verses there. Be joyful in hope. Oh, here we go. Patient in affliction. Patient in affliction. Do you know what I've noticed with most people who profess Christianity? We don't like to be patient in affliction. We actually think affliction is a curse or from the enemy, and we should do everything we can to get rid of it as quick as we can. Say, well, I need to pray. Pray that God will do this now. Pray that God will release me. Pray that God will do this. No, hold on. Be patient, long-suffering in affliction. Yeah, but I don't like that. Well, I don't know what to tell you. I could say something, but I'll leave it alone. Be patient in affliction. Look, faithful in prayer. It didn't say pray once. Do you know what I've realized? Affliction drives me to my knees. Let affliction do its work. Let it drive you to your knees. How serious are you about that situation that you don't like? How ready to throw yourself on your hands and face before God and cry out to him are you? Because until you're ready to be patient in affliction and fervent in prayer and faithful in prayer, then you're going to be trying to figure out how to get out of your current situation. Romans 5, 1-5, we're going to end here. I have to be quick. Romans 5. I didn't get through all my message today, so I'm going to have to hold it for another time. Mark and Irwin told me I wasn't going to get through it. It's their fault, really, because they should have said that. Romans 5, 1-5 says this. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, now just read this in context. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What's the first fruit of one of the first fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, and peace. Friends, you have peace from God because of Jesus, because of the cross. Next verse, please. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Hold that there for a sec, guys. We've gained access by faith. Faith is a gift from God into this grace. Grace is what? Grace is getting what I don't deserve. That's grace. And now we stand and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. What do we say? We say, may God be glorified through this affliction. May God be glorified through our life. On our doors as you walked in this morning, it says, by God's grace, for God's church, or for God's glory, Port Church. We believe that. We believe our lives are here because of God's grace, and our gift back to Him is to bring glory and honor to Him. Amen? Next verse. Not only so, but we also, here it is, glory in our sufferings. Why should we suffer? God's about to give us the answer. I don't want to suffer. I don't want you to suffer, but suffering is a part of life. The troubles of life come to all. Here we go. Not only so, but also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. What's perseverance? The ability to keep going when you see no fruit. The ability to keep going when it looks like it's never going to change. Do you think relationships need some perseverance? Friends, listen, in our world, in our day and age, the quickest thing people run from is perseverance. The moment something doesn't serve us, we're out. We're gone. We hit the door. Why? Because we haven't understood the purpose of suffering. We don't get what suffering produces. We think suffering is a waste of time. We think suffering is stealing my happiness. God has a bigger picture. Not only this, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. You got to look at the next step. Here we go. Verse 4. Perseverance, which is keep going, produces character. Come on. What is character? Friends, character is who you and I truly are. Character isn't what you want people to think about you. Character isn't the mask you put on that you hope everyone sees. Character isn't what you hide behind. Character is in who we are. So what is character? I've heard a guy say this years ago. Character is who you really are when no one's watching. Character is who you really are and how you treat people that can do nothing for you in return. That, friends, shows our character. So how do you treat someone who can give you nothing in return? That determines our character. So why would I do anything for them? They can't do anything back for me. And that's how the world operates. Be good to me, I'll be good to you. Be bad to me, I'll be bad to you. That's a natural worldly response. That's not a Christian response. Amen? So character, and look at this, and character produces hope. What is hope? Bible hope, friends, is this. It's a picture. It's a blueprint. It's an understanding of what God has for us down the road. So why suffering? Why? Friends, God allows us to suffer to bring perseverance. Perseverance, character. character, hope. And then the last verse. And look at this. And hope does not put us to shame. Another translation says this: hope does not disappoint. Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer. Father, I don't have to stand here and wonder who's going through pain or who's gone through pain or who will go through pain in our church. Lord, you say in your word, the troubles of life come to all. Father, we thank you, and we're reminded this morning the gift you've given us of patience, long-suffering, forbearance, the ability to keep going. And Holy Spirit, my prayer this morning is this, is that we understand why we suffer. We understand why some things are hard. It's not because you're angry. It's not because we've messed up and we've committed some unpardonable sin. Father, it's because you're drilling and forming and shaping something in our hearts and lives. May suffering produce perseverance. Father, may we be able to persevere through suffering. And Father, may that perseverance form and shape with the anvil and the hammer of your Spirit our souls. May we be able to stand up and say, Lord God, we hold to who you are. We have character. And Father, I thank you that people of character always are people of hope. Thank you for that gift this morning. In Jesus' name we pray.